Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Monday fun day. I really hope you guys had a great weekend out there. It's back to the grind here on this Monday, August 20th, 2018. Fun weekend, I must say. You know, I spent a lot of time relaxing on Saturday, doing nothing, just kind of watching some sports on my couch with the pup. Played a little video games. And then on Sunday, you know, typical Sunday for me, just, you know, ran some errands. And later on, I was a guest on Jack Ebling's Press Pass All-Stars on Fox 47, which was really cool. Always great joining Jack. And, you know, his always fantastic panel every Sunday night at 11 p.m. Set alongside Jack, as well as former Michigan State linebacker Darian Harris and the Team 92.1 sports producer and Lions historian, the great Doug Warren. So that was very fun stuff. Glad to be back at it to begin the week here. We've got a lot to get to. There were new developments that broke over the weekend. Pretty disturbing news when it comes to Zach Smith, the former Ohio State football assistant coach, who was fired after, you know, it broke. News broke from ESPN's Brett McMurphy that Zach Smith had a history of alleged domestic violence. We all know what happened in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days when Brett asked the question about Zach Smith's history to Urban Meyer, head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, you know, and basically Urban Meyer lied, said he didn't know anything about it, and then released a statement after firing Zach Smith. He released a statement a few days later saying that, yeah, I misspoke, you know, I was kind of put on the spot, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now Urban Meyer is on paid administrative leave. And Brett McMurphy has, again, broken some more news when it comes to the character of Zach Smith. All right, so we'll bring you those new updates. And, you know, with the investigation at OSU in Columbus, Ohio, they said it was going to take 14 days. So now that deadline has essentially passed. And we should know this week whether or not Urban Meyer is going to keep his job, get fired, or at least get suspended. All right, so I have some thoughts on that story. Also, your Detroit Lions played the first game of 2018 at Ford Field in preseason action, game two, as they played host to the New York Football Giants. The Lions did not look impressive at all, in my opinion. Now two losses, back-to-back losses to start NFL preseason action. I'll have a few takeaways from that game. I watched most of it. Turn it off probably, what, like after the third quarter. So we'll talk Lions and Giants preseason. Also, you know, there's this big debate happening in the National Football League right now due to a new rule that has sparked a lot of controversy, the new helmet rule. Some people like it. Some people are a bit indifferent and say, we'll give it some time. We'll see if it works. And some people just absolutely hate it. So we'll have a quick discussion concerning the helmet rule. Is it bad for the NFL? And this is an exciting week. This is an exciting week here in mid-Michigan sports, because on Thursday, that marks the start of high school football.
I can't wait for it. It's one of my favorite areas of coverage here, doing what I do as a sports reporter and broadcaster. Thursday, officially, high school football gets underway. And throughout the week, we'll be inviting many different high school football coaches. And we will start off the week with a bang, inviting one of my favorite coaches here in the area. I mean, I've been knowing this dude since I was an intern back as a student here at Michigan State University, like 7-8 years ago. The great Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team, and what may be one of the most exciting game ones in mid-Michigan football history. The Ithaca Yellow Jackets will take on the defending state champion Pawamo Westphalia Pirates on Thursday at Alma College. The game is that big. That big. This game is that important. This game has that much fanfare that they had to move it from a respective high school of Ithaca and PW and bring it on like Donkey Kong at Alma College. That's how big this game is going to be on Thursday. We will talk with Terry Hesbrook about this big game and how it came about, the new goals and expectations for this squad after coming up just a bit short in the state championship last year. I'm excited to talk with Terry Hesbrook today. And we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the hour. Multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. My man Alec Rio is the man behind the glass engineering this party on this Monday. Let's hit him with our current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with some weekend Michigan State sports news. For all of you MSU women's volleyball fans, yeah, the time is officially here. Nearly 1,000 people showed up to attend the annual intra-squad scrimmage, green versus white, giving their fans a first look at the 2018 Spartans. With the graduation of 7 seniors from the 2017 edition that advanced to the NCAA Elite Eight, there's plenty of players both returning and new stepping into new roles for the upcoming season. There was an exhibition that was held over the weekend at Jennison Fieldhouse. And when it comes to the outcome, Team White topped Team Green in that scrimmage. Team White defeated Team Green 2-1 in the Green and White exhibition game. In addition to the advantage for fans, the Spartans also had, that scrimmage. When it comes to the official numbers, real quickly, 25-21, 22-25, and 25-17. Senior Maddie Haggerty, who missed the 2017 season with injury, had 13 kills, hit 346, added 4 digs and 2 blocks. Alyssa Kronowski had 11 kills and 4 digs. Naya Gross had 5 blocks and an ace and hit 556 with 6 kills. Alina Schuyler had 32 assists. For the green squad, Meredith Norris had 14 kills, 3 digs, 3 blocks. Julia Hatcher had a match best, 4 blocks, added 5 kills. The Spartans will open the 2018 season Saturday at the Tennessee Classic, taking on Chattanooga and Belmont, in addition to the host Volunteers. Michigan State's home opener, mark your calendars, is set for September 14th to the 15th, when it will host the Auto Owners Insurance Spartan Invitational. Very exciting times for Kathy George and her Michigan State volleyball team. All right, the number 7 Michigan State men's soccer team finished its preseason on Friday in a tie. Don't you just love ties in the world of soccer? Can you sense the sarcasm in my voice? I hate ties. Hate ties in the world of soccer. But it was a 0-0 final as Michigan State tied Xavier. The Spartans had several chances and were unlucky hitting the post and the crossbar. Freshman Connor Weinman and Jack Beck both had second half chances for the green and white. Senior goalkeeper Jimmy Haig ended the preseason with his second clean sheet. MSU concludes the preseason with a 1-0-2 record with a win against Spring Arbor and ties against number 14 Western Michigan and Xavier. The Spartans open the regular season on Friday, August 24th against South Florida under the lights of DeMartin Stadium at 7 p.m. The Michigan State women's soccer team used first half goals from junior midfielder Sadie Masiewicz and sophomore forward Alexandra Thomas to get past Boston University 2-0 yesterday in front of 479 people at DeMartin Stadium. Redshirt junior goalkeeper Riley Ott recorded her second consecutive shutout as the Spartans improved to 2-0 on the 2018 season, while the Terriers fall to 0-2. Michigan State redshirt freshman wrestler Cameron Caffey earned 2 gold medals at the 2018 Junior Pan American Championships in Brazil over the weekend. Caffey earned Greco-Roman gold at 87 kilograms on Friday, August 17th, prior to winning freestyle gold at 92 kilograms on Sunday. The Illinois native finished the weekend with a 7-0 record across both tournaments and won 6 of his 7 matches by way of technical superiority. Last season, he wrestled at 184 and compiled a 22-6 record at open tournaments in a redshirt year. He was also one of 4 Spartans to win 20 matches and tied for 3rd on the team with 7 falls in his first event as a collegiate wrestler. Caffey won the 184-pound title in the freshman and sophomore division at the MSU Open. He also took 1st at the Storm Open and at the Alma Open. Very impressive stuff there. Wow. All right. The Detroit Lions have a lot of work to do before the regular season begins. They got completely exposed defensively in a 30-17 loss at a silenced Ford Field against the New York Giants. Their offensive line got tossed around by a good but not great Giants defense. The defensive line was better against the run than it was a week ago against the Oakland Raiders, but still allowed 3 rushing touchdowns in the game. 9 penalties, a handful of drop passes, some terrible third down defense, and Matthew Stafford, the quarterback, taking more hits, yeah, than he completed passes. He had 3 hits and 2 complete passes. He was sacked twice, and when it comes to the overall quarterback core that played on Friday night, as a total, they took 4 sacks. Just not great. Not great pass protection when it comes to that offensive line. Some good news, though, when it comes to last week for Matthew Stafford. Mrs. Stafford revealed on Instagram that the duo was expecting another baby when she found out about that news around Christmas time this past year. And Matthew and Kelly welcome baby twin girls in April of last year. And over the week, last week, get this, Stafford welcomed his 3rd child. So congratulations, Matthew Stafford. That's awesome stuff. Kelly actually welcomed the baby, I believe, on Thursday right before the Lions took on the Giants on Friday. So that's great stuff there. Congratulations, Matthew Stafford and the entire Stafford family. All right, the Detroit Lions. Yeah, the team that dons the old English D just can't shake off another letter in the alphabet, that being L. The team looking dismal, especially after only taking 1 game out of 4 to the Minnesota Twins over the weekend, a team that has been underperforming as well. And they concluded the series last night the Tigers did with a 5-4 loss against Minnesota while being down 4-1. The Tigers rallied in the sixth to tie it up. The Twins tallied a run in the eighth inning to secure the win over the Tigers. The Tigers are now 51-74 on the season. Football remains the most popular and most dangerous high school sport in Michigan, but an all-out attack on the danger of the sport has created positive results for Michigan high school football players. After the 2015-16 school year, the High School Association began collecting concussion data, with football having the most of any high school sport with 49 concussions per 1,000 participants. That dropped to 44 per 1,000 after the 2016-17 school year. In the most recent survey, after the 2017-18 school year, the number of concussions fell to 41 per 1,000. Hockey was second with 32 concussions per 1,000. Girls soccer and wrestling next at 25 concussions per 1,000. So it's good to see those numbers go down a little, at least, right? All right, and get the brooms out because Simone Biles got the clean sweep at the U.S. Championships for gymnastics, getting all of the gold medals. Just incredible what Simone Biles has been able to do in the sport of gymnastics and again, what she did over the weekend. Biles, in the second meet of her comeback, won her record fifth United States all-around title and swept the four apparatus titles, combining scores from Friday and Sunday at TD Garden. This is what Biles, who wore a teal mint leotard in part to stand with fellow survivors of Larry Nassar. Teal ribbons were worn at the NCAA meets in the winter and spring. Also want to note that. This is what Simone Biles had to say. Quote, I knew I was capable of scoring this well, but I kind of thought I was going to be a nervous wreck and maybe fall apart. Going into these events, I know I kept telling my family, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to calm myself down the way I did before and handle the nerves, but so far, so good. You think Simone Biles, the Michael Jordan of U.S. gymnastics, or gymnastics, period, right? Incredible stuff. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's keep it pushing. All right. Again, happy Monday, August 20th, 2018. In just a moment, again, as we'll be doing throughout the week, we'll be previewing the local landscape of high school football here in mid-Michigan. This is an exciting week. Exciting week as some games here in the area will officially kick off on Thursday. And those who don't on Thursday will, of course, get their seasons underway on Friday. Exciting times. Exciting times. I can't wait for high school football. I can't believe the week is already here. You know, in a matter of days now, in a matter of 11 days, we are going to be looking at the beginning of September, and football is really going to start to pick up. You got to love it. You really do, folks. So high school football will start on Thursday, and then you even have, you know, NCAA college football starting on Friday, which is crazy, right? I mean, I really can't believe that. You know, looking at this week in the world of college football, I mean, you got, you know, Hawaii at Colorado State, Wyoming at New Mexico State. Those games will take place on August 25th, on Saturday. Prairie View at Rice. It's just going to be good to see, you know, football getting underway. You know, it really is. I mean, the time, you know, has come, right? And real quickly, you know, we didn't mention this in our quick hit headliners because I wanted to start with it. Just quick thoughts on a breaking story when it comes to the situation out in Columbus, Ohio, at Ohio State. New developments broke over the weekend. Disturbing developments broke over the weekend when it comes to Zach Smith, now former Ohio State football assistant coach. News broke that Zach Smith had sex toys delivered to him at Ohio State's football headquarters 3 years ago back in 2015. This broke on Friday evening, raising more questions about Zach Smith's conduct while employed there. Also, it was reported that Courtney Smith, which is Zach Smith's ex-wife, Courtney Smith said he took photos of himself receiving oral sex and having sex with an Ohio State staffer in the Buckeyes coach's offices that same year in 2015, as well as a photo of his genitals. According to the report, Courtney Smith said that her former husband sent a photo of his genitals with a timestamp that indicates that it is from the day that Ohio State actually visited, of all places, the White House. The White House. That same year. One photo included a White House bathroom towel with the seal of the president. Are you kidding me? The report said Zach Smith had $2,200 worth of personal items, including sex toys, delivered to the Buckeyes football offices inside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Smith's attorney, Brad Koffel, told the stadium, which is, a local reporting avenue out in Columbus, told the stadium that he had no idea about the photos and the sex paraphernalia. So, again, that broke over the weekend, you know, and again, I was a member of Press Pass All-Stars on Fox 47, courtesy of the great Jack Ebling yesterday, and that is how we began last night's show at 11 p.m., and, you know, they gave a 14-day window, which I don't know how you can put a timestamp on an investigation of this magnitude, but they did. And now that 14-day window is now over, and we expect that this week the investigation is going to be complete and that we will hear from OSU President Michael Drake, who will announce a decision on the job of Urban Meyer after he has a meeting with the Board of Trustees and they discuss the findings of this investigation. But I will say this, with this new report, strictly from an optics standpoint, this looks horrible. And I don't know how you can read a story like that and read those troubling details and not question the character of the individual that Zach Smith worked for, that being head coach at Ohio State, Urban Meyer. This was 3 years ago. Sex toys delivered to the place of work of Urban Meyer and the coaching staff of the Ohio State football team. You're at the White House celebrating a national championship, and you send those kind of photos? You have sex with a subordinate. I mean, I don't know how anybody can read that story and not call into question the character of the man who employed him, who works hand in hand. They go back to Florida, folks. Zach Smith and Urban Meyer go back to Florida. You have that kind of character working on your staff? From an optic standpoint, this looks horrible. And Urban Meyer has already lied. You know, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we all know what happened in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days. Brett McMurphy posted Urban Meyer up. Do you know that your assistant coach in Zach Smith has a history of alleged domestic violence? No, I didn't. Again, I'm paraphrasing here, but he denied it. He didn't know anything about that, and actually even came at Brett McMurphy for even bringing something like that up. Urban Meyer proceeds to fire Zach Smith and then releases a statement saying, you know, apologies. I was kind of put on the spot there at Big Ten Media Days and misspoke. Come on, Urban. You've been doing this for a long time. You've been asked a lot of questions. Rarely does a question keep you off guard. You were hoping. Rarely does a question catch you off guard. You were hoping that that was in the past. You were hoping that this story was not going to blow up into something. You were hoping that this wasn't going to be dug up and come to the light. You were hoping that, bottom line, Zach Smith wasn't going to get caught here. That's what that was. That's what that initial reaction to Brett McMurphy's question was. That's locked away in a closet. There's no way that can come back and bite our program in the rear end. And bite me in the rear end. And what this comes down to, you know, we had the debate last night. What's going to happen to Urban Meyer? Is Urban Meyer, a man who was one of the most high-profile coaches in the world of college football, who earned $7.5 million a year, a program that is on the radar for a possible college football playoff appearance, a man with that kind of stature, will he really lose his job over this? Darian Harris, Doug Warren, they don't believe he will. I don't believe Urban Meyer will lose his job either. Unless, upon finding out that there was some kind of domestic violence situation going on with Zach Smith and his now ex-wife, did you report this? Did you follow protocol and report this to the Title IX office? If he did and followed protocol, I think that Urban Meyer is going to keep his job. But I don't know how you can look at that press conference when Brett McMurphy addressed the domestic violence, alleged domestic violence history of Zach Smith, and you look at Urban's response, and again, he lied, just blatantly lied. I don't know how you cannot at least suspend Urban Meyer. That's the right thing to do, even if Urban Meyer did follow protocol here. I don't know. That's what I think should happen. Again, that's just me giving my thoughts on this. My faith on what should happen, though, in instances of domestic violence in our modern day culture here in 2018 isn't high. I will say that, because at the end of the day, it's about winning games, right? It's about money, right? Urban Meyer already has a ton of support when it comes to the fan base at Ohio State. You know, you saw the fan rally for Urban Meyer, right? Oh, excuse me, that was DJ Durkin. That's a whole other situation. But from what I'm reading on social media and blogs out there, Urban Meyer has a lot of support still in Columbus, Ohio. So the university appointed a six-person blue ribbon committee to oversee the investigation. It is being led by former Ohio State Speaker Joanne Davison, and also includes three current members of the OSU Board of Trustees. And again, Ohio State President Michael Drake, we're expected to hear some kind of announcement when it comes to a decision after a meeting with the Board of Trustees. So there you have that. But no, and Alec, you know, just quick thoughts on this before we hit the first break. No, correct me if I think I'm right here in my initial thought process. That rally was for Urban Meyer, right? Because I believe Ezekiel Elliott's father was there. Zeke, a former player of Urban Meyer. Am I correct in saying that? Yeah, right?
Yeah, that was originally, that was for Urban Meyer.
That was for Urban Meyer.
I was going to tell you that Zeke Elliott's dad was there for that.
Yeah, Zeke's dad was there, very vocal in the support of Urban Meyer. So, yeah, when it comes to the Ohio State fan base, many of them, I'm not saying all, but many of them have the back of Urban Meyer. But if he did follow protocol, there's two conversations need to be had here, Alec. Again, you did hire somebody who has low moral character, without a doubt. But at the end of the day, when making this decision, what counts is whether or not Urban Meyer followed protocol and stuck by the letter of the law that says that at a university, at Ohio State, if you hear of anything concerning, you know, sexual misconduct, domestic violence, anything, you have to report that to the Title IX office. If he did, he keeps his job. Simple as that. And that's not what people want to hear, but that's what's going to happen here, I think. What are your thoughts on these new developments, though, Alec? Does it change your thoughts on any component of this story? Does it change your thoughts on what is going to happen to Urban Meyer this week?
It definitely consolidates the belief that I think that there is definitely something not right with this guy. Like, to have things like sex toys sent to your work office and not even to your permanent address or something, to just do it to your office. It's just what kind of person does that?
This guy had guts, you know, to do something like that. It tells me that he was obviously comfortable and not getting caught. He knew he wasn't going to get caught. He was basically, you know, in order for you to have the guts to do something like that, it shows me that there's not a lot of oversight when it comes to your bosses, right? You're just free. You're free to do whatever you want. I mean, this guy had a lot of guts. And I think that's something created from the top down. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's going to come to light. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of details that, again, we just don't know right now. We'll hear details of the investigation, again, hopefully this week. Again, they put this crazy 14-day cap on something of this nature. We'll see what they found. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKARNews. Many of you weighing in there. I hope to get to a few of your comments in just a moment. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Later on this hour, we'll get to Lions and Giants preseason game number 2 takeaways. The Lions just don't look good. Let's be real. Again, take it with a grain of salt because it is preseason NFL football, but they don't look good. All right. So we'll have some takeaways later this hour when it comes to the Detroit Lions. And is the helmet rule bad for the NFL? A lot of gray area when it comes to the rule. I think the refs are still trying to figure this whole thing out. It's tough making these kind of decisions on penalties in real football time. You'll get my thought on that. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school football team, will join me live here on the airwaves. One of the best Mid-Michigan high school football squads in the area. Looking forward to chatting with Terry. We'll have that interview and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on this Monday, August 20, 2018, live here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM. Just finished bringing you the latest news concerning the Ohio State football drama out in Columbus, Ohio, and Zach Smith and the purchase of sex toys and sex with a subordinate and sex pics from the White House of all places. Just ridiculous stuff. That is getting a lot of reaction from you all, our listeners. I want to read two comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Chantel says, heck no, he's not losing his job because he's too much of a key player in the program. And then Ben says, if it's true with the reports that are already out, I'm going to be livid. Urban Meyer lied to the media about not knowing about this, and he did know about it and did nothing when he was at Florida as their head coach. He also housed a criminal and fugitive who was a player on the team. So, yeah. Two comments from our Facebook page. Not happy with what's happening out in Columbus, Ohio. And Chantel, though, I think has the point of view that many people have, and many people, including myself, think that Urban Meyer is going to keep his job. I just don't see, Alec, how he's not going to at least be suspended here for the mere fact that he completely lied at Big Ten Media Days. I don't know, though.
Yeah, he completely lied, and he only apologized because he got caught. Like, I really don't think that he apologized because he genuinely felt bad about the situation. Like most of the people, when it comes to this stuff, they really only give this heartfelt apology when everything has already broken out, and they just don't address it before it breaks out. And that's what makes it worse.
Without a doubt. I'm totally with you there. All right, let's try and shift gears right now into much more positive news. I'm excited because this week marks the start of high school football. And throughout the week, we'll be talking with a few familiar names and faces who will be manning their respective high school football teams for a possible deep run come state tournament time. And one of the teams that are always in the conversation of going deep in the state tournament are the Ithaca Yellow Jackets, led by head coach, the one, the only, Terry Hesbrook. Now, last season, Ithaca went 13-1, 7-0, good for first in the Tri-Valley Conference West. And I tell you what, I can't wait. 4 days from now, just 4 days from now, August 24th on Friday night, Ithaca will take on the Powamo Westphalia Pirates at Alma College, a team that is now going for back-to-back-to-back. Three straight state championships, taking on an Ithaca Yellow Jackets team, which still has a 73-game, yeah, I kid you not, folks, 73-game regular season winning streak. This may be the biggest season opening game in mid-Michigan high school football history. I feel comfortable in saying that. Right now we have on line one, the one, the only, Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team. Terry, how you doing, my man?
Doing great, Al. How you doing?
Always good chatting with you. Terry, can you bring up another game that has had this much fanfare and intrigue in the mid-Michigan area to open the season? I mean, Powamo Westphalia and your Ithaca Yellow Jackets, this is huge.
It's a big one. There's no doubt about it. And Coach Miller and I talked about it when we agreed upon it, that this was going to be big and that the media was going to love it.
And you can hear
after watching their film, Al, I'm not sure I love it.
That's a good point, Terry. And you know, when you talked with head coach Jeremy Miller at PW, I mean, what went into making this game happen?
Well, he and I talk quite often during the season, you know, throughout the regular season, throughout playoffs, and you know, we've shared ideas back and forth with each other, and I have tremendous respect for him, and we've really developed a pretty good relationship, I feel, over the last few years since he's become the head coach there at PW. And we were talking one day when we were both frustrated with our options that we had for week one. Both of us were looking at lots of travel, and both of us looking at maybe playing an opponent that neither one of us really wanted to play. And so we said, you know, and I think it was him that said, hey, why don't we play each other? And so then I was like, hey, you know what? That's not a bad idea. And I asked him if he'd be willing to play a home game at Alma College, and he agreed to that. So I guess that's how it was born.
That's amazing. And, again, the fact that you guys – and I think part of the reason maybe that you proposed playing at Alma College is because, I mean, there's going to be so many people that want to be in the building to watch this game. I don't know, you know, if you did hold it at PW or, you know, even at, you know, the Palace off of 127 out there in Ithaca. I don't know if it would have held all the people that want to go to that game because there's so much intrigue. Is that why you kind of proposed to have it at a neutral site like Alma?
Well, I'd like to have it a neutral site for more than one reason, but that being one. But one, I didn't want to have to go to PW.
Right, of course.
I mean, the task is big enough having to play them, you know, and then having to play them at their place would make it that much even more difficult, no doubt about it. But Alma College has got a great venue. We have a great relationship with Steve Rackley, the athletic director at Alma College, and we've hosted games there in the past, and I know PW has played playoff games there in the past. So we've got a great venue. We've got a chance to do it. We're going to do a JV varsity doubleheader. Mm-hmm. Our JV game will begin at 4:00, and there's going to be some fundraising done to, you know, help fight hunger in both communities. And it's really kind of a neat event, you know, that we've kind of got as a kickoff.
The first time we will see you all will be, again, this week against PW, Terry. So for those that, you know, and again, I tell you what, props to the Lansing State Journal and Brian Calloway and that entire team because I love these season previews they do. It makes my job a lot easier, Terry. For those, though, that haven't read the season preview when it comes to your Yellow Jackets, can you kind of take us through the kind of team that you have for this upcoming 2018 campaign?
Well, everybody needs to understand one thing. Ithaca Yellow Jackets is going to look a lot different than we have in years past. We graduated 20 seniors, and that's a humongous class for any size school, let alone a Class C school like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're only going to have 6 seniors on our roster.
Wow!
So we have a very small senior class, and we're only going to field a team with 22 varsity players, and that will include 5 sophomores.
Mm-hmm.
So. We're going to be a smaller roster than what we have been in years past. You know, I like our guys. You know, I mean, I like them. I think our strength of our team is going to be our offensive line, our defensive line, our skilled kids. You know, really the only skilled kids that return skilled position players would be Braden Shaw, who's this is his 3rd year on the varsity as a junior. And Braden is, you know, he's quite a player. And then my son Brady Hesbrook will return as he got to start 10 games on defense last year as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody else is going to be new in that huddle. So it's going to be, you know, we're going to have to learn a baptism under fire, I guess, we'll have to, you know, is what's going to happen. It's going to be a very difficult task with a young team.
22 players on the roster this season. I mean, how many do you usually get, Terry?
We're usually in the high 20s to low 30s.
Okay.
You know, we're 27, 28 to 32, 34, somewhere in that range. Depending upon, but you know, just so happens this year the senior class is small, and you know we're gonna be up against it number wise for the entire season. But you know, a lot of teams are. Isn't anybody gonna feel sorry if you get a Yellow Jacket? I mean, so
right, and
I get that, you know, 100%. You know, what I mean, I'm not asking for anybody's sympathy. I mean, our guys are gonna line up, and we're gonna get after it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and again, that includes that 73-game regular season win streak. Just an incredible, you know, history that you are writing season after season out there in Ithaca, Terry. So with that being said, I mean, you know, saying that this year's Ithaca team is going to look a lot different from teams that fans are accustomed to in the past, has that changed the way that you are preparing this roster of 22 young men to approach this upcoming year? Have you altered anything because of the lack of senior leadership in comparison to years past and the fact that you only have 22 players?
Right. Al, you know me, you know what I mean? And we're not big on change here in Ithaca. Mm-hmm. And so we're not changing a thing. We met with them back in May. We had a 100-day meeting. That's 100 days till kickoff. And we talked about what the goal what this team's goal and what this focus is going to be. And I can tell you, it's the exact same as it has been for the last 8 years. It's the goal is the same, and I think you have to have high expectations and a high goal, high standards for yourself, your team, your community, so that, you know, if you don't, then really what are we doing, you know? The goal is exactly the same. The expectations are the same. Our commitment level, our work level is exactly the same. We're not big on change here in Ithaca, that's for sure.
I love that. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school football team, Terry Hesbrook, the one, the only Terry Hesbrook. The Ithaca Yellow Jackets will get the season underway on August 24th against the Powamo Westphalia Pirates at Alma College. Terry, in preparing for, again, a defending state champion in Jeremy Miller's Powamo Westphalia team, what kind of team are they and what are you expecting from the Pirates come Friday night?
Well, they're extremely well coached football team. The one thing that stands out to me probably the most, among other, there's lots of things, but the one thing that stands out is the confidence level that their players play with. And I think that comes from, you know, the success that they've had. They know the system that Jeremy has in place. They know that it works. They know that the plays that they have work, you know, they just have to go out and execute them, and their players just walk around with that confidence, that air of confidence about them. And, you know, I would like to think that those are the same things that he's seeing from our kids. When we go, you know, when we go on the field, our kids expect to win the football game. You know, they expect to go out and have success due to all the work and commitment, preparation, all the things that have went into getting ready to play August 24th.
Certainly. And Terry, when it comes to your team, what's been the most intriguing position battle or battles, I should say, especially when it comes to quarterback? Because I know you guys lose Joey Bentley, who, you know, at, you know, 3,800 total yards, 58 touchdowns. Who will take over the reign when it comes to that quarterback position? Will it be, you know, your son Brady or is it going to be Peyton Smith? What are those position battles looking like?
We actually are in a very, very good situation. We have two of the best quarterbacks in the entire area, you know, and I truly mean that. I'm not trying to brag, but we're in a good situation. Peyton Smith is a junior. He was our JV starting quarterback as a freshman and sophomore. About 6'3", drop back passer, you know, and then Brady's a different type of player. He's going to bring a different skill set. He's about 6'1". He's about 185 pounds. More of a runner and more, you know, a thrower and runner, I guess, has the ability to be dual threat. You know, I haven't announced a starter to the team, and I'm certainly not going to announce one today. So, Jeremy, if you're listening, you're not getting any insight to what's going on.
Very smart man, Terry. So I tried.
I'll take my cue from Jim Harbaugh on that one. We're just going to, you know, they're both practicing. They're both going to play, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, I love it. You're a smart man. And there's a reason why Terry Hesbrook is one of the best coaches in the area, and you're seeing it right now here on the airwaves. All right, so when it comes to developing a quarterback, though, Terry, again, you had Joey Bentley who threw up crazy numbers. What is the key to grooming a solid quarterback for a high school program in your eyes?
And this is maybe a little bit different, but in our offense, you know, the quarterback's got to be, you know, a very, very good athlete. They have to be have the ability to run and throw the football. And they also have to be very intelligent because we're going to ask them to do a lot of things. And then I think one of the other big, the commitment level, if you want to play quarterback at Ithaca, you can't show up in August and say, I'd like to be quarterback, because there's been guys that have been throwing since December and they've been working on their footwork and working on their mechanics and working on, you know, going to camps and doing all those things that help prepare them for, you know, the fall. And our quarterbacks here at Ithaca for a long number of years, we go all the way back to Josh Brehm back in 2001, you know, they've been willing to put in that extra time. You know, if you want to be the quarterback, I mean, a lot of people like to play football, but the quarterback is a completely different animal. You know, you almost have to train for the quarterback position year round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, watching a ton of film, I'm sure. And it's so mental, isn't it, Terry?
Yeah, it absolutely is, because when you get out there and, you know, everybody starts flying around, you know, you just have to be able to handle that and remain calm and everybody's looking at you in the huddle, and you have to understand, you know, you have to be able to handle it. It takes a special person to play quarterback. You know, I don't believe I would have been that guy. Back when I was a 17-year-old kid back in high school, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been that guy. Coach Ahern never let me throw the ball.
Right.
So let's just say that.
It does take a special personality, without a doubt, Terry. And, you know, I don't think I've ever asked you this question. Again, you come from, you know, the Jim Ahern coaching tree. You know, and when it comes to your mental preparation for an upcoming year and your coaching philosophies, can you name someone other than, you know, the coaches you've worked under, worked for, and the coaches that you have on your coaching staff, someone other than those individuals? Maybe it's a book, maybe it's, you know, a coach who you admire at another level, whether it be in the college or the pro realm. Where do you draw inspiration and take things from, other than those you've worked for and worked under?
Obviously, I played for Jim Ahern in high school. I played for Glenn Stevenson at Olivet College, who later became my father-in-law. So I owe a great deal of what I've become to those two men. There's no doubt. They've both been great mentors to me over the years. But somebody that I've always admired from afar is Bill Cowher. And I think you know that I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yeah.
When Bill Cowher was the head coach of the Steelers, you know, he had the ability to coach with tremendous passion and fire. And, you know, and you like to think that you bring some of that to the game when you yourself are on the sideline. And, you know, I've been told many times that, you know, your kids feed off from you, you know, during a game. And you know, I just somebody that I look up to, I think, and have done a lot of research on is Bill Cowher.
Definitely. And I tell you what, I'm a little nervous for your Steelers this upcoming year. I mean, you see that 51 piece that, you know, the Packers threw up on them last week? Again, it's preseason, yeah. But goodness, Terry.
Hey, we're talking about practice, okay? In the words of Al Iverson, right? We're talking about practice.
I love it. Come on. That's true. It's it's preseason, right? I mean, it's
Ben
preseason.
Didn't play. I don't think the running back played there, you know, so yeah, I think he'll be all right.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Terry, I think the Ithaca Yellow Jackets are going to be quite all right. And I'm looking forward to that first game again, August 24th. We're just days away from what quite possibly may be the best season opening game in mid-Michigan high school football history, Ithaca and Pauwama Westphalia at Alma College. Terry, we'll be talking to you throughout the year. Good luck, my friend, and I'm looking forward to staying in touch.
Thank you, Al. I really appreciate your time.
All right, my man Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have weekend winners for you. I'll give you some quick thoughts on the Lions and Giants preseason game from Friday night and thoughts on the new helmet rule in the NFL. That and more, just 5 minutes left in this Monday edition of Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And we have just about 4 minutes left in the hour. We just finished up a great chat with Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school football team, one of the best teams in the area year after year after year. The Ithaca Yellow Jackets riding a 73-game regular season win streak. Amazing. Just completely amazing. And you know what? I know Alec Rio, current sports engineer for this Monday, I know you're pretty excited because college football for Michigan State begins now, what, you know, less than 2 weeks from now on August 31st against Utah State. You'll be out there along with Connor Mathis covering that game and shooting that game. And your first introduction to shooting football will be this week. Covering some high school football. So you got to be pretty excited about this time of the year too, I'm sure.
Of course. It's my senior year here at Michigan State, you know, so, you know, experiencing football like from a different standpoint instead of just being a spectator, you know, and just, you know, shooting it is really exciting to me. And it's definitely going to be an interesting experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, again, no cheering in the press box, all right?
Exactly.
I'm sorry. You can't do it. I know you're an MSU, you know, you're about to be an MSU grad. I know. That's the toughest thing I tell, you know, my PAs who are coming out with me for that very first year. It's so tough to do. I know. You get used to it, though. You become, like, numb to it after a while. So, all right. Well, as we have just as we're inching closer and closer to the end of the hour, just want to dive right into weekend winners. Weekend winner number one, the New York Giants, who just made the Detroit Lions look absolutely foolish. I tell you what, it is preseason. As you just heard from Terry Hesbrook, too, I brought up the 51 piece that the Packers put on his Pittsburgh Steelers. And he said, hey, practice, right? It's preseason. It's practice, right? But still, the Detroit Lions in two preseason games have just looked, they've looked awful. You know, I know it's a new system. It's a new coach. Jim Caldwell was the guy for 3 years. And now Matt Patricia comes into his first head coaching job in the league with the Lions. There's going to be an adjustment period. Defensively, I like what I saw from Darius Slay. He is a remarkable defensive player. But then you look at Jarrett Davis, second-year linebacker, looked completely lost, allowing a man to get behind him for a touchdown. You know, can the Lions run the ball? I still got questions about that, even though Theo Riddick looked great with that 42-yard catch and run. But again, that's putting him as a receiver. I'm still not sold on that offensive line. They can't protect, you know, whether it be Matthew Stafford or Jake Rudock, whoever's behind center. You know, can the Lions get a pass rush? They had no sacks, gave up 96 yards on the ground. I'm just not sold right now. Again, it's preseason. It's preseason. It's preseason. I don't know how many times I can say that, but still. So weekend winner, the New York Giants. Weekend loser, the Detroit Lions, without a doubt. Also, weekend loser is the helmet rule right now, which I'll give you my answer on whether or not, even though it's a weekend loser, there's still hope when it comes to this rule. And I'll break down why on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. But everybody bashing the new NFL helmet rule, I'm going to bring something new to the table that you may have not thought about, all right, when it comes to this whole new rule. All right, so we'll see you tomorrow, folks. In the meantime, have a great Monday afternoon and evening. As always, be easy, people.